And though I walk through the valleys, though, and we all walk through valleys, but the valleys can't take away our faith and our trust in God. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much. We want to honor you. Thank you for being there when we need you. Thank you for your great love for us. God, we just, again, are so grateful that we have you, even in the valleys, that the God of the mountaintop is still the God in the valley. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Children, you are dismissed to go to children's church, if you'd like. I'm debating. My wife said, use a chair. But if I fall down, Tom, come pick me up, put me in that chair. Okay. Yeah, so you could see me. Yeah. So I could be at eye level with John. Well, this morning, we're going to have a short message. And the message that I wanted to bring to you this morning, if you have your outlines, is why we need each other. You know, it's kind of the exact opposite of what we're taught. We're taught that, you know, you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You know, we're taught our entire lives that we don't need anybody else, that we're okay. But God says, if you will do what I tell you to do, you will never again have to deal with loneliness. You'll be able to overcome fatigue and fear and failure and frustration. Your life will be so much easier if you'll just do it the way I planned for you to do it. The antidote to all those things is a concept of community. And that's really what church should be all about, is community, is connecting with others. Now, we Americans, man, we love our independence. You know, our nation was founded on the Declaration of Independence, and so we really love it. You know, I've got to be me. I don't need anybody to tell me what it's all about. Do your own thing. I did it my way. Oh. Who sang that? I can't remember. I know they did a lot better job than me. The truth is, happiness does not come from being independent, from being isolated or living your life with all the barriers up and all the masks and keeping people at arm's length or arm's distance. That's not the way to be happy. Happiness comes from interdependence. It comes from being dependent on God. It comes from being dependent on each other. It comes from community. Notice what the Bible says in Romans 12:5. It's the first verse in your outline. It says, since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. You know, turn to the person next to you or behind you if you aren't sitting next to somebody. And, you know, I don't do flaky stuff like this all the time, but once in a while, you know. And I want you to turn to them and say, I need you. Go ahead. I need you. Okay. Yeah. Kel's trying to ignore it. Okay. Now you turn to the other person and say, you need me. Yeah. You know, we do need each other. We just don't realize how much we need each other because we're taught independence. What does it mean to really have intimacy with somebody? To have soul-to-soul fellowship? And what is the purpose of God's church in all of this? Today, we're going to look at why we need each other, and we'll look at four reasons why you need a church family. I've chosen to speak on this because today, we're remembering someone a little bit later who was an important part of our family here at Echo Mountain Church. Sat right behind you, Carrie, every Sunday. And that's Mike Onnie. Mike Ani was a friend, but more than that, he was family. He was our family here at Echo Mountain Church. The Bible gives us four reasons why we need a church family like Echo Mountain Church. So I'd like to look at those today. Number one, I need others to walk with me. You know, I need others to walk with me. In other words, I need people to help me grow spiritually. The Bible says in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now the Bible, it often calls your spiritual life, throughout the Bible, it calls it your walk. It calls it the Christian walk or the spiritual walk. Why? Because life is not just a sit-down thing. You know, it's a journey, and you're always growing. You know, before my heart procedure, I had a hard time walking from my house to the church without feeling a little bit of tightness, and I figured I'd just fat, old, and out of shape. And now, every morning, I look forward to getting up and walking. And so I walk through the neighborhoods. I always check out my brother Robert's truck, unless he's already gone to work. I walk by my brother Jim's house once in a while and by Heather's place. Walking has become important to me. Life is not just a sit-down thing. It's a journey. You're always growing. You're always moving. And your life is a journey. There's a destination to get to. But this side of heaven, no one has arrived. So we keep on walking. And the Bible says that as you walk through life, God wants you to do certain things. Now, all through Scripture, it tells us, particularly in the New Testament, it says we're to walk in the light. It says we're to walk in love. We're to walk in obedience. We're to walk in the Holy Spirit. We're to walk as Jesus walked. We're to walk in wisdom. Many, many ways the Bible tells us how to live this kind of life. But one of the important things is this. God never intended for you to walk through life alone. Never. God never intended you to walk through life alone. Now, let me make it really clear. This has nothing to do with whether you're single or married. You know, Mike Ani was a single adult in this church, and he was actively involved in community. Even not walking through life alone, he was involved in this church. And there are probably people in this church who are married and desperately lonely. So marriage is not necessarily the antidote to loneliness. Community is. Community is. Now some of you say, well, what's wrong with walking alone? You're not learning relationships. You're not learning love. God says, I want you to walk through life with other people close in relationship to you. And he says it for three reasons. And I put this in the outline for you. Number one, it's safer. It's safer when you walk with others through life. There's safety in numbers. It's a whole lot less risky, especially in those hard times and those dark times. I mean, there's some men here at church. If I was going to walk through a dark alley, I'd call you up and say, hey, I'm going for a walk. You want to go with me? You know? But it's safer. It's a whole lot less risky. Have you ever had to walk in a dark alley by yourself in an inner city or some other place? Maybe even in the country. It can be quite frightening to you. It's safer when you walk with others. Here's the second thing. It's supportive. It keeps you from giving up. When other people are walking with you, they keep you going. There's an old Zambian proverb that says, when you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. The life that you live is not a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. And you want to run far. Have you ever seen, now we don't see them too often here, but where I grew up, we used to see geese, a lot of geese. And I don't know if you've ever noticed the geese when they're flying. They fly in a V formation. And the reason they do that is they can fly further farther in that formation because it creates an updraft, and they don't get as tired when they fly together. And when they fly and when we walk, when we run through life together, we're a whole lot less tired. It's safer and it's supportive. And a third reason is it's smarter. You'll learn a whole lot more when you go through life with other people close to you. I'm not just talking about casual friends. I'm talking about people who are in true fellowship with you. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:12, it says, only fools trust what they think alone is right. In other words, if I'm the only one who thinks it, guess what? I'm wrong. And so sometimes if you're just walking alone, you may be walking in the wrong direction and nobody's there to tell you, hey, we're off track. We're heading in the wrong direction. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And so it's smart and it's supportive and it's safe. One of the things about going through life with a few close, intimate friends is you learn things that you wouldn't learn any other way, like cooperation, like how to get along. You see, the number one goal in life is learning to love God. That's what Scripture says. And the number two goal is learning to love others, to love other people. Why? Because God is love, and God wants you to be like Him. So He says, I want you to practice learning to love. You know that God hates loneliness? He created two groups. He gave you a physical family and a spiritual family. The physical family that you grew up in and the spiritual family that you live your life in, because your physical family doesn't always last. They move away or pass away or things like that. So you need a spiritual family. And that is the church. And actually, your spiritual family is going to last a whole lot longer because than your physical one, because it's going to go on forever and ever throughout eternity. And God's safety net is His family. Notice Hebrews 10, it says this. Let us not give up the habit. That means a habit is something that you do all the time. It said, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. You know, I need people to encourage me in my daily walk. And He says, how do you do that? He says, by meeting together. After I had my surgery, I missed, I think, 2 weeks of church, and I missed it. I missed y'all. And so I was so glad when I could come and meet together again with my family. Now that verse there, He's not just talking about what we're doing right now. He's talking about community. Folks, this is not all there is to community. Because some of you have been coming to church here for months and still don't know some of the other people that are sitting around you. So you don't have community in just coming here to worship. Community is what happens when you're with other people, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or maybe 8, maybe at the most 10 or so. And if you show up here on Wednesday nights for years, you would find a small group reading through the Bible. And you would see Chuck and Marlene and Mike in that small group. We've had a small group in our house, and that's something that I miss greatly. We will have it again. The house is a little bit of a mess right now since Diane's gone. Don't tell her. But community is God's answer to loneliness. We need a few people in our lives that we know really well, and they know us really well, and we all need a place. We need a group where we can practice. All right, that's the first reason why we need each other, because I need people to walk through life. I need people, I need others to not just walk with me, but to work with me. To work with me. Do you know that the Bible says God put you on earth to do certain things? And you need other people to help you do those certain things. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, God made us to do good works, which He planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. Before you were even born, God decided what talents you were going to get, what natural abilities, what gifts, what background. Some of this is what Pastor Mike has been talking about. He decided what country you would be born in. He decided all of these things because he has a certain thing that he wants you to do with your life, your good works. And that is called your ministry. Anytime you use talents that God has given you to help other people, that's called ministry or service. It's helping other people. But God doesn't want you to do it by yourself, or you'll get worn out. He says you need other people to work with you. Now, God tells us why we need others to work with us. Look at this next verse in Ecclesiastes 4:9. It says, two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. You know that's true? You always get more done by working with other people. The reason why you may be exhausted is you don't have anybody helping you. Would you write this down? Actually, I wrote it down for you. Community is God's answer to fatigue. It's God's answer to fatigue. Galatians 6:10 says this, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with people closest to us in the community of faith. Naomi doesn't recognize my voice. That's the church. The community of faith is a church. You see, God uses ordinary people. So I need people to walk with me. I need people to work with me. And the third thing is, in life, I need others to watch out for me. I need people who will defend me, who will protect me, who will stand up for me when I need someone to stand up for me, who will help me to stay on track, who will warn me. I need people to watch out for me. Philippians 2:4 says this, look out for one another's interests, not just for your own. Now, that's kind of a countercultural statement because in America, everybody says it's all about me. It's all about my needs, my interests, my hurts. And the rest of you forget you because it's really all about me. It's too bad. And yet the Bible says that we are to look out for one another's interests. Have you ever seen a neighborhood watch sign? That's a sign of community. It says we watch out for people here. We take care of each other. If you're going on vacation this summer and you were going to be gone for a week or a couple weeks, you'll probably tell your neighbor, I'm going to be gone for a while. Would you look out for my stuff? Okay? Because we all want our stuff looked out for. Okay, so we ask our neighbor, would you mind just keeping an eye open and watch out for my stuff? Well, let me ask you, do you have anybody looking out for your soul? Because your soul is more important than your stuff. Is there anybody who is helping you out in your spiritual journey, who's watching out for you to make sure that you're still growing, to make sure that you're not getting discouraged and depressed and feel like giving up? I need others to watch out for me. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:1, keep being concerned about each other as the Lord's followers should. Christians ought to take care of Christians. People in the church ought to take care of other people in the church. It says, keep being concerned about each other. That word keep, that means be vigilant. Vigilant, is that even a word? Vigilant. You don't just do it once, but you keep on doing it. You keep watching out. And when it comes to spiritual battle, when you're fighting the devil, it's not just protecting yourself, but it's also to go after him. Now, most of the time we're defeated because the devil, he doesn't wear a red suit and with a tail and a pitchfork and come up and say, boo. How does the devil work in your life? Habits. Habits that you can't break, hurts that you can't forgive and let go of, hang-ups that you can't change, problems, circumstances, relationships that mess up your life. It's all indirect, and he's always trying to mess us up that way. And most of the time, we're defeated. Why? Because we try to fight it on our own by ourselves, and you're never going to beat the devil on your own. Never. You need other people in your life who are watching out for you. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 4:12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, But two can stand back to back and conquer, and three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Friends, that's why we need community. That's why you need a small group. That's why you need your church family. So the question this morning is, who's watching your back? Who's got your six spiritually? Who's watching your back? Is there anybody in your life who is so close that they are helping you and making sure that you don't fall into typical traps that mess us up? Is there anybody like that in your life? If you don't have that person, I pray for you, because you've got a big bullseye on your back for Satan. He's waiting to attack. Here's another question. Whose back are you watching out for? You can't expect anybody to watch out for you if you're not watching out for anybody else. You care enough about anybody else, you'll say, you know what? I'm going to be with you through this. Through this challenge, I'm going to be with you through thick and thin. I believe everybody needs someone watching their back. And you do too. Community is God's answer to defeat. Community is God's answer to defeat. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 4:10. If one person falls, another can reach out and help. But people who are alone when they fall are in real trouble. I need people to walk with me through life. I need others to work with me, and I need others to watch out for me. And then number four, I need others to wait and to weep with me. That's the fourth reason that we want to have community. What am I talking about here? I need people who are going to be there in the inevitable crises of life. When I'm waiting for the bad news, or when I'm weeping, when I got the bad news, I need people in my life. You need a support network in your life now, because you don't know when the crisis is going to come. When the earthquake's going to happen, you can't look at your calendar on the refrigerator and have that on there. You just don't know when that's going to happen. You don't need a lot. You don't need a lot of people, but you need a support group. Those three or four, you don't need 100, but you do need 5 or 6 people in your life who are going to be there when you need them. And the time to prepare is now. I can remember not too long ago when I was in the hospital, and some of you came and visited me. I don't think they would have allowed the whole church to come in there. But I appreciated those who came, but I also appreciated knowing that the whole church was praying. And it was through those prayers that God is restoring me. So God says that the safety net he planned for your life is a group of believers who are committed to you. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 3:8. You should be like one big happy family, full of sympathy toward each other. We need to watch out for each other. That's what family's about. That's what community's about. Here's God's plan, 1 Corinthians 12. If one member suffers, all suffer together. You know, I read once about a guy who died at home in bed, and nobody discovered him for 2 years. I thought, how tragic. He had no relationships in life who missed him. That the guy died, imagine the despair. Nobody should ever have to die alone. Community is God's answer to despair. Community is God's answer. The Bible says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. You party when people have a celebration, and you weep when they have a tough time. You don't have to fix people's problems. You know, sometimes when somebody's going through something, you say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to them. When a family member dies or somebody, I don't know what words to say. When they're going through a crisis, they don't need advice. They just want somebody to be there. Sometimes you just sit there and be quiet with them. You don't have to say anything profound. Usually we get in trouble when we start talking. I know I do. Just be there with them. They don't need a lot of advice. Just be there. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, encourage each other and strengthen one another. Friends, we all need each other. We all need each other. We need other believers to walk with us, to work with us, to watch out for us. We need other believers to wait for us, to wait with us, and to weep with us sometimes. Mike Ani was a huge part of our family at Echo Mountain Church for a long time. And we went through times with him and he with many of us. Today we're going to honor and celebrate Mike's life, a life that was lived in community with his church family at Echo Mountain Church. Mike served here at the church. He was the leader of our GO team, Global Outreach. He had a heart for people that were suffering. It is so good seeing my brother Bill here this morning. Talking to Bill, he and Mike, years ago, they used to go to the rescue mission together and serve there. Whether you are new at Echo Mountain or have attended here for a long time, I would like to invite you to become part of our family. Get involved in serving. Maybe you're not sure what that is. God didn't bring you into this area, into this church at this time just to be a spectator. He brought you here to be a part of what's going to happen. He brought you to this church for a purpose. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, it's time for the church to be a church. It's time for the revolution of love and fellowship and community. I pray that you begin that in each of our hearts today. Lord, I just pray that if there's somebody here who's going through a valley, going through a hard time, Lord, I pray that they would be willing to allow the church to minister to them. Allow people to walk with them through this valley. Allow people to wait and to weep and to work and to watch out for them. Lord, so many times we just try to do stuff on our own. We try to live life like it depends on us. But yet, there's no guarantees in our lives. We need you. We need your body. We need the family at Echo Mountain Church. God, I'm so grateful to be part of this family, to be part of this church. I'm so grateful to have people in this church that I know I can count on for prayer. And I can pray for them, people that are watching out. And I just pray that all of us would become closer in community, that we'd walk this walk with each other. Lord, thank you for the journey. We know that none of us have arrived this side of heaven. Help us to do this journey together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.